And welcome to the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Often we have Phil Conlon here, but Phil is, we say, on assignment. That, and I explain that that's because I don't know where he is. Big news, and by the way, I got to compliment Democracy Now. That was great coverage of the situation in Haiti. It's very germane to issues in Canada. We have a very, we ought to recognize as a country that we have a very serious problem. It's called vassalage. We're involved in an ugly moment where there's going to be an attempt to once again appoint a government for Haiti without consultation with the Haitian people. This is one of our traditions. Now today, by the way, we're going to have a special guest coming in, and he is the author of, it's Gerald Friesen. He's the author of a brand new book, The Honorable John Norkay, Indigenous Premier, Canadian Statesman. And Professor Friesen is retired from University of Manitoba. He taught Canadian history there. And it couldn't be more timely in terms of sort of getting to know the true story of the development of Manitoba and the Canadian West. And so I'm looking forward to that. Again, our guest is going to be Gerald Friesen, and the title of the book is The Honorable John Norkay. By the way, it's published by University of Manitoba Press. On this matter of Haiti, I guess we're always supposed to say the Honorable. So it's the Honorable Bob Rae, who used to be the Honorable NDP Premier of Ontario. Now he's the Honorable Bob, representing us at the United Nations. He is in Jamaica, and he's being interviewed by all the Canadian media about what we're doing to help people of Haiti. And actually what we are doing is conniving under the leadership of the United States to guarantee their hegemony over the people of Haiti. And it's a very nasty situation. The Globe and Mail today has a headline, "As Haiti Gang Violence Soars, Envoys Gather in Search of Solutions." Well, solutions. 1,000 Kenyan policemen and the U.S. Marine Corps. That's a solution. As Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Covered it just now, just an hour ago, pointing out that there's been a crisis in Haiti since the removal of the only and last democratically elected president of the whole country, President Aristide, and that happened in 2004. We covered it as well. And our biggest problem, and it was addressed on the by the guest on the Goodman show, the problem is that they refer to gangs, and that's basically, you use the word gang, you're suggesting criminal. But as was pointed out, they are paramilitary organizations, these armed groups, and they are directed by real-life oligarchs, powerful and wealthy people, for the most part, in Haiti. And the weapons come from the United States and Canada. And yet, of course, when you see them on the street, everyone said that's a gang. But there's a lot of financing, and there's also great differentiation amongst those people called gangs. So it's a very unpleasant situation. It's being, and the language is all upside down. The term that should be used is, if we're going to use gang in such a careless manner, We are to say that Five Eyes, of which Canada is a member, that's a five intelligence organizations, are gangs. And they make the determination of who's going to be anything within the purview of NATO and their interests. So it would be far more helpful if we would actually, if we're going to use the term, talk about gangs in Canada, political gangs. I mean, after all, as I mentioned, Bob Rae used to be in the NDP gang, and then he went to the Liberal gang, and then he got himself a nice job posing as the ambassador. But the work they're doing is, frankly, criminal, because the legal government of Haiti was removed, and there hasn't been one since. And the people who removed the Aristide government were primarily the United States and Canada. And I haven't seen any review of that, of what happened, where Canada acknowledges its negative role. Everything was always, we're trying to do the best we can, we're helping out, there seems to be a disorder, so we're trying to help, which is a false story. What they're trying to do is to dictate to the people of Haiti. And if they would acknowledge that, maybe we could do something helpful. But this business of sending Kenyans, I'm not sure where that stands, but the person posing as the prime minister now of Haiti went to Kenya. He got a lot of coverage, says CNN and BBC and everybody else pretended it was all very real. But as we interviewed Kim Ives on this program, pointed out that they're actually talking about $500 million of money to go to that would end up going to Kenya if they will provide, frankly, African faces, a African face, a black face for the military reinforcement of a fake prime minister. A ton of money for 1,000 policemen. Last night I was watching CTV or somebody, CBC, it was a Canadian news outlet. They were calling them troops, but they are actually police. Police are not trained in the kind of military work, unless there's something about the Kenyan police I don't know, but it's far different from being a soldier in an army. And it strikes me that they would be basically spitting into a volcano. I will believe it when I see it, that they put 1,000 Kenyans on the street, because frankly they'd be overmatched. And as I mentioned, the appropriate name for the armed groups is paramilitary. And they have officers, people trained. We on the show, we talked about the man known as, sorry if I have to use this expression, Jimmy Barbecue. But he is a highly trained former intelligence officer. He has military background. You can bet that everybody under him has military skills, ranks, particular training for the type of combat that they have to engage in. And that is true of the other groups as well. So they are formidable. And they are, this is the part, again, why we have to negate the use of the word of gang. They have politics. And according to Kim Ives, Haiti Liberté, they are in a mode that he would call revolution at the moment. They're denying the airport and travel possibilities for the phony prime minister. they're doing that by, exercise of deployment. And it seems to be a very efficient deployment because they're succeeding. They're preventing the prime minister from returning. Their position is they now want a Haitian solution to Haitian problems. And they don't want a bunch of ambassadors, primarily white ambassadors, by the way, the U.S. and Canada, talking about choosing a new interim government. Well, they'll put a lot of funny terminology. That's why you have a guy like Bob Ray around. He went to college. He's a Rhodes Scholar. So he'll think of some expression. But actually, all this is muscle stuff and true criminal conduct. And they're saying, well, let's get Frank in there. No, we need to. Let's go with Bob. Let's go with and then they enforce it. But the people of Haiti have eclipsed this process, primarily under the leadership of a new alliance led by the inevitable name Jimmy Barbecue. And what they're doing would be a revolution, because if they could prevent an intervention, if they could get a combination of these armed groups, they could insist on a process in which they're the ones who determine on a constitution or a formula for political succession. And really, at the end of the day, that's all this is about. And what it is about is U.S. hegemony, because U.S. will not tolerate, as we know from long experience in this hemisphere, they will not tolerate any element that is contrary to them. Exhibit A would be Fidel Castro. Second exhibit would be the Sandinistas of Nicaragua. And, of course, Mr. Morales of Bolivia. And wherever the people have established people's power, the U.S. and Canada, as its assistant, step in to make coups. And as you heard on Democracy Now!, they brought a man to power, the one who overthrew Aristide, and he has now told the world that he was working with the CIA. And so it's an old story, but we have to repeat it because actually it's never mentioned in our mainstream media. Instead, we get, as I say, the headline, gang violence. And as we all know, if you say gang violence and somebody says we have to call in the police, and who's the world's policeman? That's the United States. And it's actually just simply a political trick. I want to remind you, our listeners, by the way, too, that you can really be up to date on this issue if you follow, of course, the programming of CIUT. Democracy Now! Is really on top of it. But I do highly recommend our recent guest, Kim Ives, of Haiti Liberté, very readable. It's when I say, yeah, except it sounds like it's former, but no, it's a daily. You can follow him daily on, I'll say Twitter as well, but it's at Kim Ives 13. Kim Ives 13. And you can go basically almost hour by hour because he keeps track of things. He's noting what leaders in the hemisphere are resisting this. And by the way, it's a, pardon the expression, dog's breakfast, because Kim Ives told us on the show last week, Brazil is still playing a rather ambivalent role, which is something you really don't expect from Lula, but it's not clear whether they think that they should be there. So it's kind of rather worrying. And these states, the so-called CARICOM, they've been in recent past year or two been sounding more and more independent and making, they like to make statements that we're no longer vassals, we're no longer part of the colonial system and we object to it and, you know, the terminology's there. But they seem to be lining up and that's a worrying thing. They're in, the meeting it today is in Jamaica. As for Canada's role, it strikes me that somebody in Parliament ought to be asking, well, what has been our role? Let's have a review of how much help and how much trouble we've caused, and perhaps join those voices which are remind everyone of colonialism and of the mistreatment and the arrogant expression of power by the U.S. The U.S. Marines went into Haiti in they've been there many times, but they went there in 1930, held on for a long, long time. They were busy establishing in power dictators all up and down South America. You can read the great Smedley Butler, U.S. Marine commandant, by the way, who after he left the Marines, he wrote gave a speech, actually. I think they've turned it into a book in which he said that war is a racket. And really, he was only talking about his own role in the racket. He said that, after all, they want the resources and the cheap labor of the world. And he says they need enforcers. And he said, that's what I did. And he was the commandant. Quite a story, by the way, Smedley Butler himself. But Canada ought to be saying, someone in Parliament should start moving toward an independent foreign policy, one that says we didn't play a good part, we helped overthrow Aristide, and we should not be imposing on the people of Haiti a new selection, when instead we ought to insist on the non-interference of great powers in the affairs of Haiti. But, of course, we're not hearing that from Canada, but that is the voice we should hear. And incidentally, Eve Engler has a new book out talking about how Canada has fought democracy pretty regularly. Always at the behest or with the behest of the United States. So it's well documented, and that's what it's the role at this moment in Canadian democracy, to the extent that it actually exists, is that people elected to look after our best interest and also to encourage democracy should be saying, we don't approve of this U.S.-run operation. And foreign interference in Canada is a major subject. Everybody says they care about that. Well, the way to show that you do would be to say we shouldn't be a member of Five Eyes because that's foreign interference. If we're gathering intelligence for an operation that's basically run by the Americans, then we are not actually we're not protecting ourselves from foreign interference. Well, what we're doing is acting as an agent, or I have to use the word again, vassal. By the way, vassal is a banned word in the CBC and all the major networks. Nobody ever wants to talk about vassalage, and yet there's no topic that could be clearer than this one, that foreign interference it comes from Washington. And we've said it many times on the show, say it again, that Washington, in the name of, and particularly the president of Trump, who everyone in Canada says he's abominable, and even the prime minister now makes negative comments about Trump. But when Trump told the Canadians to destroy Huawei by arresting Meng Wanzhou, they did it. And they will do it again. Canada will once again, it doesn't matter if it's Trump or if it's Bush. The problem is that they will, the Canadians and Mr. Ray will be right in there behind them. They do everything but salute. It's probably of some symbolical significance that Bob Ray, as a boy, used to deliver Richard Nixon's papers, newspapers, to his house. And when he was living in Washington, Bob Ray was living in Washington, son of a diplomat. So he's still delivering the papers. And the papers, by the way, are lousy. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It's 89.5 FM. I neglected to say Ramadan Mubarak. This is, we want to be thinking of our Muslim brothers and sisters, particularly those in Gaza, where once again, exactly the same model is operating. We now are turning ourselves into the claims of humanitarian aid, and that would be the U.S. Air Force and the French Air Force, and I guess the British, and then there's going to be the American Navy is going to go, and they're going to say, look, we're here to provide aid. Actually, and Canada is a part of this, what's happening is that they are taking over and a job that nobody ever asked them to do. We have the United Nations. We have the whole business of identification of the Palestinian state, which, by the way, cannot be said on American television, Palestinian state, and the Israeli state. And it is a product of this crisis is a product of the machinations of the United Nations. It is under their purview. If you're going to have international law, if you're going to have treaties, if you're going to have respect for agreements, you have to go through an international body, and nobody gets to own it. No state gets to own it. But there is a state that says it does own it, and that's the United States. And there's a president who claims to have this power. And so we have to read in today's papers in the news that Biden and Netanyahu are having a little kerfuffle. There's absolutely no content in that because there's no difference of opinion on the strategy, overall strategy. And because they have slandered the work of UNRWA, completely misrepresented it and whatnot, they're moving to create a situation where all activity, all aid and everything else that international expression of involvement in Gaza will be U.S. directed, not the United Nations. And that is the goal of Benjamin Netanyahu. That is the outlook of the Likud party. And where it'll get, well, there's going to be a lot of ugly elements to it, other ugly elements, but the notion that we're contributing to and Canada should be resisting, and maybe in a way there's a little bit of foot dragging, that is for the U.S. to take over, basically pose as the face of international aid, which is false. If you're going to have international aid, frankly, you'd have to have the Russians and the Chinese, if you're talking Security Council, putting their blessing on ceasefire and permanent and a political resolution. And that is not the point of view of Joe Biden and his gang. But that's what's actually taking place. And they're turning it into a publicity story about, oh, look, we're airdropping things to people. Well, you're airdropping bombs. The bombs that you send, and the U.S. sends them daily. There's a tremendous, heavy reinforcement of all no Israeli power or force runs out of ammunition because the U.S. is guaranteeing it. And that is the part that has to stop. And Canada should participate in stopping it. And speaking of stopping it, this is going to be a place to take a break. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM, and we'll be talking to Professor Friesen in very short order. So we'll be back.